Chapter 10 At Home with Nungala. Just as Jimmy finished his sentence, we heard a vehicle in the distance and went to stand on the road. A big lorry pulled up and Jimmy went to talk to the driver. He got out of the lorry and they started to talk. It was incredible. Here, in the middle of the desert, we had found one of Jimmy's friends.
Emily, Daniel, meet Callan, said Jimmy. He's an old friend from Pine Creek.
Nice to meet you. Where are you from? Said Callan.
I'm half Irish, half Australian, and Daniel is Spanish, said Emily.
A nice multicultured group with not a lot of luck. So, let's get the cables and see if we can hook up your car to the lorry.
Callan and Jimmy immediately got to work, and Emily and I tried to help. We hooked the car up to the lorry, and soon we were on our way to Pine Creek. We had fun with Callan, who liked talking. We were now in the tropics, with eucalyptus trees and lots of small rivers.
They're billabongs, Callan explained. That's the word we use for a small river.
We finally arrived in Pine Creek, just as the sun started to paint the sky its beautiful red, orange and pink. Callan invited us to his house for a barbecue, and Jimmy said we could spend the night at his house. So our long journey to Pine Creek ended with a good steak and a few beers. It was so nice to finally have a good hot meal and then sleep on a comfortable, clean bed. The next morning, Emily and I were looking at the map to see the distance from Pine Creek to Darwin when I suddenly remembered Nungala, the Aboriginal woman from the plain. Wouldn't it be great to make a detour and visit her in her Aboriginal community? Emily thought that it would be fascinating, so I searched in my wallet for the paper with Nungala's number and called her.
Nungala? Hi, it's Daniel. We met on the plane.
Oh good, you remember.
Listen, my girlfriend and I are in Pine Creek, and we'd love to see you.
Arnhem Land. What permit?
Well, it would be great if you can get one.
Okay, so call me back soon.
Great. My number is 04-1368-6902.
No worries. Bye.
Well?
Emily asked with her hopeful green eyes.
Well, she's in Arnhem Land, I said.
I took out my travel guide, The Lonely Planet.
Look here, Emily. Arnhem Land is located in the northeastern corner of the territory, and it's an enormous area of around 97,000 square kilometers.
What does it say about it? Asked Emily.
I read to her from the book.
Arnhem Land is home to the Yolngu people, one of the largest indigenous groups in Australia. They've managed to keep their traditions and culture to this day. They're also famous for their paintings on wood.
And is it okay for us to visit Nungala? Emily asked.
Yes, but she said that we need a permit to go there, so she's going to get us one. She'll send her brother to pick us up. Before I could continue, my phone rang. It was Nungala to say she had arranged everything for us. She knew somebody who arranged visitors' permits, so it wouldn't be a problem. I hung up and smiled at Emily. We need to be at the Pine Creek pub in half an hour, and her brother will pick us up. So we packed our belongings and said goodbye to Jimmy, exchanged emails and addresses, and left for yet another adventure. Half an hour later, we were trying to keep cool in the local pub at Pine Creek, waiting for Nungala's brother, Jack. Eventually, he arrived.
G'day. You're Daniel and Emily, right? I'm happy to meet you both. Let's go. We're flying with the doctor.
Oh, have you got a plane?
I asked, very impressed.
Well, no, but the doctor has got one. He must see his patients in the Aboriginal communities. He usually flies in because the roads are flooded in the wet season. It's the only way to get to some of these communities. So we can take you with us in his plane, he explained.
The doctor was very friendly.
Jack's family are good friends of mine. I'm happy to do you a favour, he said. Welcome to my country, said Jack, as we flew over large areas of land. This is the home of my people, the Yolngu. Arnhem Land is our heritage. It is one of the biggest Aboriginal reserves in Australia. The government returned the land to us in 1931, but it was always ours. We are as old as this land.
We landed at Jabiru, and the final part of our journey was by boat. The river was quiet, apart from the noise of our engine.
Oh my God! Emily gasped. Look!
She pointed to a crocodile in the river about 50 meters away.
Stay in the center of the boat, and you're completely safe, Jack told us. Some visitors to this area don't understand the danger. Sometimes the crocs have pulled people out of boats, he added. He wasn't joking.
Emily sat very close to me, and I put my arm around her. This was real Crocodile Dundee country. Jack gave us a pair of binoculars and slowed the boat down.
Look, those two are freshies, the freshwater crocs. They've got 4 lumps on their heads and a very narrow nose. And that big one over there, that's a saltwater crocodile.
He's enormous, I exclaimed. Are you sure that we're okay in this little boat?
Yeah, he's big, nearly 7 meters long. But don't worry, our boat is 8 meters long, said Jack. Even so, let's keep our distance. You don't want to fight with one of those monsters.
After about 2 hours, we arrived at Nungala's home. She was sitting under a tree waiting for us, with 2 small children next to her. When she saw us, she stood up and smiled.
Welcome. Welcome to my home, she said. You know, Daniel, I didn't know how much I missed my family until I arrived here. I was born here, and this is the home of my ancestors. Now, I'm here to stay.
She turned to Emily. And this is your beautiful girlfriend. You're going to be happy together. Trust me, I sense things. I was very happy to hear this.
Jack introduced us to his grandchildren, Sammy and Rebecca.
There are lots more kids at home, said Nungala. Tonight, there's a Korobori ceremony. We're welcoming a new child to the community. Emily, you stay with me, because some of this ceremony is men's business. Daniel will go with Jack, and then we'll dance together.
Most of the Aboriginal ceremonies are sacred, and people from outside the community cannot participate or watch. This time, though, it was okay for me to be there with a member of the family. The dance began after dark. Some men played the didgeridoo and other instruments. Others danced.
This is the dream time, explained Jack. The great ancestral spirits organized the earth by creating people, animals, plants, and birds. They made laws to govern them. We do the ceremony together to remember these laws.
What are the symbols painted on the dancers' bodies? I asked.
These are for our language, Kunwinjku, he said. Some people here protect one story and some protect another, but we're all from the same tribe.
Protect a story? I asked.
I don't understand.
We don't write these stories down, he explained. We dance them and we paint them. Each man and woman is responsible for a different story. And each ceremony acts out a story from the dream time so we don't forget the laws. Tonight, we dance the story of the Rainbow Serpent, or Garangareli. She's a creator spirit who brings us the rains and gives life to the dry earth. We thank the spirit so she continues to live here. She's the protector of new babies born in the community.
The next morning, Nungala and Evelyn, her niece, took us to Ubir, a sacred rock art site. The place had beautiful rock formations on the green land. Our ancestors have painted here on these rocks for 60,000 years, Evelyn told us. Evelyn was an artist and painted traditional paintings with lots of dots, which she sold at the Injilak Arts and Crafts Centre nearby. Most of the paintings you can see here are about 1,500 years old, she explained. They've all got stories. What's this one? Emily asked, pointing to a picture of two crocodiles. Those are the Namargun sisters, she said. These two sisters changed into crocodiles to frighten each other. But they decided to become crocodiles permanently because then they could frighten or eat anybody they wanted to. We tell this story to the children so they understand that crocodiles are dangerous. The place was very interesting. It was full of pictures, and Nungala and Evelyn told us the stories as we walked. Then we sat in the shade of the rocks and ate our lunch. It was too hot to move. We stayed with Nungala and her family for 3 days. Everything happened very slowly in the heat. Evelyn showed us how to paint on wood and the different styles she used for her work. I teach the young people about our culture and our traditions with my art, she said. It's very important that people feel part of our history and that they know our culture. There are many problems with our people in towns all over Australia. They aren't part of the white man's world, and they've lost their own culture. They suffer, and so they drink beer to forget their pain. Alcoholism is a big problem today.
Alcohol is the worst thing that the white man brought with him, said Jack. Alcohol and disease. But now we must learn to live together with the white man.
Soon, it was time to leave. The doctor picked us up on his way back to Jabiru. From there, we flew to Darwin, back to the 21st century.